So when Judy's not telling you about the snow in New York, a very important story here in Chicago is leading her news, which is about this the study that came out that 47% of African-American men aged 20 to 24 in Chicago and 44% in Illinois are either out of work or out of school, according to this University of Illinois at Chicago's Great Cities Institute study. And it's interesting because a high rate of unemployment locally, now that's, as we said in Chicago, 47%. That compares to about, that's almost half, and that compares to about a third, a little less than a third of young black men nationwide. And in other big cities, New York and LA, it's only at 30%.
Which is still seems high, but the 47 number just shocked me when I read that. That's 47% neither in school nor working.
And if you want to take a look at the demographic and the age and all of the things that are going on, the you know, the death toll, these are young men who are doing who are getting shot. There are 200 shootings already in the year 2016 in Chicago.
It's unbelievable.
200. That was as of this morning.
We haven't even finished a month yet.
Right. God knows what it is this afternoon. And we have to stop and think about that. I mean, this is like, it is like Iraq. I mean, it is crazy. All right. Teresa Cordova is with us, and she is actually, she's in charge of this, I believe in charge. And even if you're not, just take credit for it right now until your bosses hear this. In charge of this this Great Cities program at the University of Illinois at Chicago. And what do we account for here in terms of this number? Why is it so much more dramatically different here than it is in, say, New York or LA?
Well, you know, one of the other things that the figures tell us is that the numbers are also concentrated, that we've got in areas where you have the most racially segregated neighborhoods is also where you have the most concentration of some of this unemployment. So I think that there's a direct connection between what's going on in the neighborhoods themselves as with what's going on for the young folks.
And what conclusions do you draw from that? What dynamics are happening in those neighborhoods?
Well, there aren't, in many cases, anchor businesses, for example. There's not anchor employment centers where the young people can have readily available access to jobs. I think that, you know, that certainly plays a role. And in a lot of instances, you don't have very strong retail sector. So, you know, there's a number of factors that are going to play into it, but I think that's certainly a contributing factor when the neighborhood itself.
Teresa? I hope she's okay. That one sounded scary.
when she got sucked into her phone. It was like one of those, that's one of those situations that you don't come back from.
Yeah, you heard like the echo of her voice in her car and then she was gone. I want to ask her, and when she gets back, it just, did they dig deeper to see how many of the people who were part of the survey wanted to be employed, wanted to have jobs and just, or excuse me, wanted to be in school and just were able to, not able to afford it or unable to find jobs?
Now, what's interesting is they look at counting both men and women together. 41% of blacks 20 to 24 years old are out of work. 41%.
That's huge.
So there's a, women are, the unemployment rate for African-American women 20 to 24 is lower than that of the men.
Mm-hmm.
Or out of school, right? Because they're counting 2024. I mean, you know,
could still be in school.
Very well still be in school. And that 18% of Hispanics and 6.7% of whites in the age group.
What percent of Hispanic and white?
18% of Hispanics, 6.7%. And this is men and women.
Gosh, so it's dramatically
ages 20 to 24.
The white population versus definitely the black population.
Right. And again, you're counting school in this as well. So that means, you know, and the despite the fact that the city of Chicago has tried to do a very good job of creating a college system with the city colleges of Chicago, a lot of people either can't afford to or just not availing themselves of that program. You know, a lot of that stuff is made available for very low cost. All right, Teresa, we're back with you now.
And
so going back to now, Anna has this concerned about as you're looking at this, what other factors? I mean, obviously you talk about economic factors here that are at play in terms of not having things in the the businesses that either are hiring or would create an each one teach one kind of situation too. Like, well, okay, well, there's a job in this, I can get a job in that, or move, go down the block, there might be more. And as you're saying, in these sort of very, very burned out, if you will, for lack of a better term, economic neighborhoods, the economy of those neighborhoods are burned out. What then happens educationally there?
What happens educationally? Well, let me say, first of all, in this report, what we did is we looked at the employment figures. So part of, I can tell you what I think in answer to some of your questions, but the report itself is really to look at what has been the change in employment between 2015 and 2014, comparing blacks, Latinos, and whites in Chicago, Illinois, and L.A. and New York. So the extent of it was really to describe those employment patterns, right? And then to make the point that they are also concentrated geographically. But so anything else I would say right now beyond that would be conjecture on my part, right? So, but I think that we can say there is a direct relationship. We can conjecture that there is a relationship between these conditions of unemployment and other conditions in the neighborhood, and that they do go hand in hand. So part of what we do conclude from the report is that if we're going to bring back opportunities for youth employment, we need to do it hand in hand with bringing back the neighborhoods themselves. That it's all integrated, it's all part of the same thing. But it's also interesting that at a time when there is a decrease in these employment opportunities, we're also seeing a decrease in the commitment of the public sector also to providing opportunities. So when we see, for example, commitments made to even summer employment, we know that that can make a difference, right? We know that from a University of Chicago Crime Lab report, that summer employment will make a difference for these kids, and there's a correlation there between the summer employment and the decreases in violence. What was also powerful at that hearing today that was sponsored by ASN, Alternative Schools Network, Chicago Urban League, and some other groups, what was really powerful also was hearing the young folks themselves speak about the fact that if they have a job, that keeps them off the street. Right? If they're busy working, they're too busy to be on the streets. Right? If they have a source of income, then they don't look to the streets for that source of income. And they themselves have made that point, right? But I think what our figures show is that the problem is getting worse, not better, mm-hmm. that we need to do something drastic, that we're talking about a chronic condition. And we also are showing that it's very concentrated, that it's in concentrated neighborhoods that are most segregated.
It's a troubling number, right? 47%. But you did find that those people are the people in the study who are neither working nor in school. Did you find when you drilled down that those people largely wanted to be in one of those circumstances, but they just weren't able to?
Well, our data came from the census, so it wasn't that we didn't interview these people.
I see.
But I think your point is really, or your question behind your question is a really important point, which is that what we have found in other work that we've done is that, yes, these young people do want to work. Mm-hmm. They want to work, and they value what work brings them. Not only does it bring them opportunities for bringing income into their households, actually, because a lot of these kids are providing financial support for their families, but not only does it bring the income, it also brings them opportunities to learn, to get skills, that help them in their future. What we've also learned from some of our research is that chronic unemployment leaves permanent scars. And those scars then set into motion their own set of dynamics that then become kind of a cycle. And it will lead to, for example, increased teenage pregnancy, right, which itself has a whole set of dynamics. It leads to increased poverty. But it starts to affect their self-esteem, their sense of self, their sense of possibility. And those that chronic condition has long-term effects and really does create what one researcher calls permanent scars.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate your time. And this, obviously, the story is making national news today mm-hmm. at the University of Illinois at Chicago. Center has done this this study about the unemployment rate in Chicago, especially amongst African American kids 20 to 24 years old. Appreciate your time, Teresa. Thank you very much.
I'm really happy to do it. You know, this is an issue that affects all of us, and I think we all need to come together to figure out what the solutions are going to be.
All right. Thank you.
That's a good point. Thanks, Teresa.
Thank you for your interest.
Let's go to the phones. 312-981-7200 is our telephone number. Mary, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Mary.
Hey, Ron, Anna, you know what? I'm just wondering, you know, what incentive is the government giving people to work? You know, I grew up in a home where my father worked. He grew up in a home where his father worked. So we learned to work. If we're giving free school lunches to kids and if we're giving link cards to people, what incentive do people have? You know, I'm so sorry that, you know, 40% of the people are not working. What incentive do they have to work? If I didn't have to work, I wouldn't work either.
Well, that's kind of true. I mean, I understand your point, but I don't know that that's I think that that assumes that they are not these men and women, and primarily young men, 20 to 24 year olds in these highly segregated African-American neighborhoods. That don't necessarily have, they're not, you know, they don't walk across the street to a Macy's or a Walmart or anything like that. They don't see it. Doesn't mean that they're not taking, that they don't understand that there are other things out there and there's a way of life out. Because the way of life that they see, the amount of crime, shooting, and this is, you know, these are obviously also the most violent neighborhoods in Chicago. The stuff they're seeing, there's a lot of people who want a way out. The question is how to get that way out. And if they're coming from high schools in those neighborhoods, and some of them are better than others, but you know, it's hard to there is a cultural bubble in a lot of respects here, and there are people who want their way out of the bubble, and I wouldn't just assume that they think, well, that they've got a link card, so they're not going to work. Because, you know, quite honestly, the better question there is, and I understand your point here though, Mary, is what can pay better than being for the gang kids, the kids who decide to get into that, what pays better than that for them?
Well, you know, Ro, I think it all begins with the family. I mean, if you have an example, I mean, that's where it all begins. You know what? I have children, and you know what? I taught them an example, and they've learned from me. I think it starts from the first day the child is born. That's where it starts, in the mm-hmm. family.
There is something to that. I mean, we've seen some examples of some of the people tragically shot on our streets, and often there are some issues that go back to the family, and you can trace that back. And they don't have great role models.
That.
They don't have great parenting in some cases, and it has an impact. I mean, it's against the odds from the time you're born because you don't have that role model in your family.
Well, just to assume though that there are people who just don't want. I mean, I'm starting with what. I think you're right there, but I'm starting mm-hmm. with what her initial point was. You know, what's the incentive? I think there are a lot of people who are incentivized to get out of there. I think more so than you think.
But, yeah, I think the path, finding that path is the difficult
right,
part.
Because there's a couple different ways out.
Right.
And the gangway is a way that is sometimes easier and more immediately lucrative, but then obviously results in death or incarceration. Because
mm-hmm.
those numbers, too, of incarceration rates, yeah. African-American men in Chicago, is shocking.
Very. We just had Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle on talking about that.